Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the House GOP leader's announcement Monday that Representative Trey Gowdy will be heading up the Select Committee to investigate the 2012 Benghazi attack, about which Gowdy claims he has evidence of a systematic, intentional decision by the Obama administration to withhold untold amounts of documents from Congress. The co-author of The Benghazi Hoax, Ari Rabinhaft, host of The Agenda on Sirius XM, who has an article at USA Today, Benghazi Investigation, a GOP Political Ad, joins us to discuss how the relentless Republican sideshow designed to sully Hillary Clinton's presidential ambitions has turned into a clown car, and whether the Democrats will participate in this farce or boycott the hearings. Then on the fourth anniversary of the 2010 flash crash of the stock exchange on Wall Street, where the market tanked 1,000 points and $1 trillion evaporated in the blink of an eye, a glitch which to this day no one is sure how and why it happened, we will speak with Sarah Anderson, who directs the Global Economy Project at the Institute for Policy Studies. She has an article at the Huffington Post, Derailing the High-Speed Trading Bullet Train Before It Crashes Our Economy, and we will discuss how computerized high-speed trading dominates the market today, and the need for a financial transaction tax on Wall Street that the Europeans are implementing to discourage speculation and short-term trading. Then finally, we will examine the Supreme Court decision on the separation of church and state that now allows explicitly Christian prayers to open public meetings, stemming from a case brought by local constituents of the township of Greece, New York, who objected to their town council inviting Christian ministers to open meetings with an invocation to Jesus Christ. Best-selling author Frank Schaeffer, who comes from a prominent evangelical family who helped establish the religious right as a powerful political force in American politics, joins us to discuss a majority opinion by five conservative Catholics over the objections of a minority of three Jewish justices and one liberal Catholic. And joining us now is Ari Rabinhaft, who's the host of The Agenda on Sirius XM. He's the co-author with David Brock of The Fox Effect, How Roger Ailes Turned a Network into a Propaganda Machine. Their latest e-book is The Benghazi Hoax, and he has a column at USA Today, Benghazi Investigation, a GOP Political Ad. Welcome to Background Briefing, Ari Rabinhaft.
Thanks so much for having me.
And this won't go away, will it? I mean, I was amused when, I think it was Daryl Issa, who's been beating the dead horse over this Benghazi thing for so long, said that this email that Judicial Watch discovered or got in discovery was the closest thing we've seen to a smoking gun. What exactly does that mean?
It means that Daryl Issa and John Boehner and the GOP are obsessed with Benghazi because they have nothing else to talk about. They have no health care plan. They have no jobs plan. And when they need something to talk about, over the past year, they've invariably turned to Benghazi. This email that was brought up in a FOIA request shows that Ben Rhodes at the White House sent talking points to Susan Rice that said the exact same thing that we knew those talking points said a year ago. There's no new information. There's no smoking gun. But, you know, it's something they can latch onto.
Well, I mean, has Boehner caved in to these, you know, his sort of amateur witch hunters that he's got?
I think it's something more sinister even. John Boehner is desperate to keep his car and keep his gavel. Because when you're Speaker of the House, you get a car and driver. And I think he's desperate to keep his car and his gavel. And to do that, he needs to placate the Tea Party wing of the Republican caucus. And this is a way of doing it. They've been demanding a Benghazi Select Committee for a year. He's now announced a Benghazi Select Committee. Frankly, it's a slap in the face to ISA because it pulls the investigation from him to Trey Gowdy, a South Carolina Republican who, you know, he's the type of guy who thinks X-Files was a documentary. So, you know, you're pulling the investigation to one of the House of Representatives conspiracy theorists I should say there have been four investigations so far into Benghazi: the Accountability Review Board, the Senate Intelligence Committee, the House Armed Services Committee, and the House Committee on Government Oversight and Reform, which is Daryl Issa's committee. Four investigations, no evidence of political manipulation, but they'll try for number five.
Well, ISA is, he's more of a grandstander than anything else, isn't it? I mean, that this guy, you turn on a TV light and he'll come like a moth to a flame.
Well, it's even, I keep saying it's even more, but this is even more devious than that. You have to think about it this way. Darrell Issa is one of the wealthiest members of Congress. He's never had to raise money for his campaign. He's self-financed major races before his Senate campaign. When he unsuccessfully ran for Senate, he dumped $10 million of his own money into his Senate race. But he has become one of the most prolific fundraisers in the House of Representatives, specifically getting small dollar contributions from GOP faithful based on what? Based on the fact that he's viewed as the guy investigating the president. So he wants to keep these investigations going. And why is he grandstanding? Because it means more money in his campaign accounts.
Again, I'm speaking with Ari Rabinhaft, who's the host of The Agenda on Sirius XM, and he's the co-author with David Brock of The Fox Effect, How Roger Ailes Turned a Network into a Propaganda Machine, and their latest e-book is The Benghazi Hoax, and he has a column at USA Today, Benghazi Investigation, a GOP Political Ad. Now, there's some question as to whether or not the Democrats are going to boycott this new House inquiry that has just been authorized by Boehner, right? I mean, Monday he said he was going to create a U.S. House Select Committee on Investigations into the 2012 Benghazi attack. So, and as you mentioned, he's put Representative Trey Gowdy, a Republican of South Carolina, to chair the panel. What do we know about whether or not the Democrats are going to go along with this farce?
I mean, we don't know yet. There's been some suggestion by a few House members that they shouldn't. I actually think they should. I think they should fully participate in the process and not give Republicans an excuse to be crazier, oversee the process, and critique them at every turn. What Darrell Issa has done at every stage of the way is kind of keep Democrats at arm's length from the process, which has basically destroyed his own investigations. Let Republicans be the ones to kick Democrats out. I think House Democrats would be making a huge mistake not participating.
Well, Darrell Issa, though, goes as far as to cut off the mic for the minority chair of his own committee, Elijah Cummings. So will they resort to that? I mean, if the Democrats refute the insanity of and question the very sanity of these hearings, will they be subject to having their mics cut off? I mean,
well, let them be subject. Let them show. I mean, that moment showed the American people, demonstrated very clearly what Darrell Issa was doing and the disgusting nature of his behavior. Let them be the ones to do that. I truly believe Democrats should participate in this process to show how unfair and it is.
Well, but it's pretty transparent, isn't it? This whole Benghazi obsession has nothing to do with any real need to investigate. And as you've pointed out, they've already, been four. There's been the State Department Accountability Review Board, the Senate Intelligence Committee, the House Armed Services Committee, and the House Committee on Government, and now the House Committee on Government Oversight. So that makes the fourth, right? There's nothing more to be found out. And if the best they've got is this so-called smoking gun from Larry Klayman of Judicial Watch, just one line, I believe, or two or three words in a memo from Ben Rhodes. Was it Ben Rhodes to Susan Rice?
It was Ben Rhodes to kind of a staff list.
Staff list, right.
And other agencies.
And they were trying to figure out how to respond to this disaster.
They were participating in a process people participate in every day, which is writing. Someone's going to appear in the media. We're going to write them talking points to help them make their case.
Right. And I'm not sure what the Republicans think the case is here. What's the end game for them? I mean, what do they want? What is their smoking gun?
I don't think they know what they want at this point. Let's put it this way. They've moved the goalposts so many times. I hear the Brazilians are going to Darrell Issa and asking him to help them organize the World Cup, moving goalposts around the country really quickly. So I don't think they know what their goal is.
Well, it seems, though, that the overall goal is inescapable, and that is that they want to dirty up Hillary Clinton in any way they can because they see her as the next Democratic nominee for president, and they don't have anybody much to run against her. And the best they've got is Jeb Bush and his, the right-wing primary process of the Republican Party, having to pass the Christian litmus test and all this stuff, makes even that doubtful that their best chance will even get a chance to run. So they're their own worst enemies in many ways, but this is something that clearly is directed, is it not, at doing what they can to dirty up Hillary Clinton's legacy.
I think it will fail. I think you'll see Hillary Clinton come out as she kind of resumes a more public profile when her book comes out. I think Hillary Clinton knows how to defend herself. I don't need to defend Hillary Clinton. She very much knows how to stand up for herself, and I have no doubt she'll be doing that and effectively take out kind of the misinformation here.
Well, she already got her soundbite on television when she did appear before one of these committees. I think it was the Senate committee, where she said, "What in God's name? You know, people died. What more do you want?" You know, that to me was the moment where they should have shut up. You know, my understanding is that one of the people that's funding this whole thing is a billionaire who's made billions of dollars off the government contracts, Eric Prince, along with Victoria Tensing, his sidekick. That they're just obsessed with this thing. And Prince, of course, hates Hillary with a poison because she exposed his – well, she cut Blackwater's contract off when she was Secretary of State, and he's on a vendetta against her.
I hadn't heard that, but, Nothing will surprise me. And Victoria Tensing's participation is well known, obviously.
Right, but the money's coming from Eric Prince. You should look into it. It's a fact. I mean, I guarantee you. So is there anything, though? I mean, in terms of cutting this thing off the pass, is there something that anybody can say? The truth of the matter is that Libya is a disaster, and we don't want to talk about it. You know, it was a successful victory followed by complete chaos. And my understanding is that the two of the guys that were killed were actually at the CIA compound, which is not too far from where the ambassador died of smoke inhalation.
It was one who was killed. So there was the ambassador. There was the ambassador's aide, Sean Smith.
Right.
One of the guys who was killed was stationed at the CIA compound. The other had flown in, was another former Special Forces operator who had flown in from Tripoli as part of the first rescue team was killed. So one was stationed at the CIA compound and one had flown in from Tripoli.
Right, and that they were hit by a mortar that was sighted on the roof of the CIA building. There was a full-scale battle. There was a massive battle going on. I mean, and the guys that attacked the CIA compound were professionals. And to sight a mortar that accurately, you have to know what you're doing. It seems like the people that attacked the annex where Ambassador Stevens died were just a local mob. So, you know, still to this day, I don't know what the hell happened there. Do you?
I mean, look, I think there are many accounts of what happened there. There have been some if you read the Accountability Review Board report, it goes through step by step these two, let's call them two battles, one at the diplomatic compound because it wasn't an embassy, it wasn't a consulate, and one at the CIA annex, separated by several hours. And I think they're very harrowing. And frankly, the stories that night are those of heroism. And the fact that after two battles like that, every single American was able to be evacuated, who was participated in that attack, was able to be evacuated out of Libya within 24 hours, demonstrates heroism.
Well, they were also doing an important job, which was to round up all these loose air-to-ground missiles, etc. Now, I think my understanding is that they're actually rounding these missiles up to send them on to Syria.
I think there are lots of rumors and about what the CIA was doing in Benghazi. But by the way, you mentioned the air-to-ground missiles, and I think this is important. There were lots of these air-to-ground missiles floating around. They're called MANPADs. And when Republicans have said, well, why didn't they fly an F-16 in and buzz the compound? Well, and you can't have it both ways. You can't have air-to-ground missiles floating around loosely in a city and wanting to buzz places with an F-16. That's a recipe for disaster right there.
Well, but these are the steroid boys, you know, the Republicans that brought us the Afghan and the Iraq war, you know, and McCain. What's McCain's foreign policy? Bomb, 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 bomb. I mean, they just get away with all of this macho stuff, and what they're trying to do suggest here is that the Democrats are a wimp and that Hillary wimped out somehow, and left our boys unguarded or hung out to dry. At some point or other, I'd like to hear a robust defense. I know she did pretty well at that hearing where she basically slapped that Republican senator down. I think it was Rob Johnson, wasn't it? The guy from Wisconsin. Yeah. Are you satisfied? In other words, you think that they just should let it go along, the Democrats should go along with this ludicrous theater just to let the other guys make fools of themselves? Or
I think they have consistently made fools of themselves throughout the process. Remember, at their first hearing, they accidentally disclosed classified information. They've come up with ridiculous theories, such as they had the critical cable theory where they said, oh, we have a cable signed by Hillary saying about security forces in Benghazi not recognizing that every cable leaving the State Department, hundreds of thousands of cables a year, all signed by the Secretary of State, because all diplomatic cables from Foggy Bottom are signed by the Secretary of State. You know, and they were embarrassed with that. They've embarrassed themselves step after step after step after step. And this is going to be another embarrassment for them.
Well, just to flash forward to the present, though, with Secretary of State John Kerry, and just to ask questions here about, you know, the value of our intelligence, and it certainly raises questions that on the anniversary of September the 11th, the ambassador should be in this place for no particular good reason, from what we can understand. Such a book fair, for God's sake, that doesn't make sense. And he was, you know, didn't have much security, and it sounds like our side were caught napping. But in the broader context, we just have learned from John Kerry's private remarks recently at a trilateral commission and from other sources inside the State Department, that Kerry was absolutely blindsided by Putin's snatch of Crimea and of Putin's move into eastern Ukraine, that he was talking to Lavrov and Lavrov was saying, you know, everything's fine. And meanwhile, Putin had basically occupied Crimea under our noses, and our intelligence community completely missed it. So if anything, to my mind, this makes me ask, why the hell are we spending all this money on intelligence when we don't have good intelligence that could have prevented the death of this ambassador in Benghazi, and why we don't have good intelligence that allows the Secretary of State to know what's actually going on and not look like a fool and that he's being taken by his colleague Lavrov. I mean, that's why we spend billions on this stuff, isn't it?
I mean, it is, and we need better intelligence, and we need to build up, in particular, human intelligence capabilities, which have been weakened over the course of the last decade. And we need, and these are things we need governments to do and governments to do well.
Well, they're clearly not doing it well, and they didn't. There's no way they did it well in Benghazi, right? There's no point in defending what happened. It's just
there's governments do things incompetently, and this is a general problem with how. With how the right treats us. Large institutions inherently make errors and inherently have some level of incompetence in them that needs to be rooted out, that we need to do better. Governments should be competent. Sometimes they do things incompetently. What Republicans consistently do is confuse incompetence for scandal, and that's where they trip themselves up.
Well, I think they're looking for scandal, aren't they? I mean, that was your original point, wasn't it? Yeah, that they don't have a
scandal.
Right. They don't have a healthcare policy. They don't have an economic policy. Their only economic policy is to make tax breaks for the super wealthy, who, in case you hadn't noticed, are doing pretty well. I mean, that's the pathetic part of it. That, you know, I think you made the strongest point at the beginning, Ari. You know that.
Yep.
This is about a party that doesn't have a policy. At the risk of sounding too partisan, I have to end up on that note. Thank you for joining us, Ari.
Thank you for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Ari Ben-Haft, who is the host of The Agenda on Sirius XM. He's the co-author with David Brock of The Fox Effect, How Roger Ailes Turned a Network into a Propaganda Machine. And their latest ebook is The Benghazi Host. And he has an article at USA Today, Benghazi Investigation, a GOP Political Ad. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back on this fourth anniversary of the flash crash on Wall Street, talking about the need for a financial transaction tax.